Namaskar and welcome to the third episode of History of Bharatvarsha, brought to you by Indian History Awareness and Research, or IHAR, a think tank based in Houston. I am Sahana Singh and with me is Professor Sharat Menon today. Professor Menon teaches courses in Sociology of Religion, Globalization and Race and Ethnicity at the University of Houston. He also teaches in the Houston Community College. In the past two episodes, we spoke about the history of yoga and the dating of Adi Shankara. Today, we will look at the religiosity of India. As we know, Hinduism has been called the oldest religion in the world, but at the same time, a large number of Hindus believe that it is a way of life. It is Sanatana Dharma or the eternal Dharma. And Dharma, as we a lot of us know, does not translate into religion. It's not merely a religion. So, Professor Menon, how do you see Hinduism?
Well, thank you, Sahana, for inviting me to this program, and thank you, listeners. Yes, that is indeed a very relevant question for our times. The so-called Hinduism, as the Indians have come to understand as their native religion, it has a uniqueness. And the very first distinguishing aspect is that it is a construct that has been misapplied. Mm-hmm. I do not see Hinduism as a religion. Mm-hmm. Religion is, after all, a Western construct. Mm-hmm. An institution that has become very established over the past almost 2 millennia, mm-hmm. All over Europe, and it has become an established social institution, mm-hmm. A vital component of the many social systems that make up Europe. Mm-hmm. And it has been evolving over the past 2,000 years or even longer. Mm-hmm. Now, however, Indians today, they have come to understand their own belief system or belief in the sacred. They have come to understand that as a religion. And that is where the problem comes in. Mm-hmm. It is actually an erroneous concept to describe the reality as it is understood by natives of India. So, of course, without a doubt, the term Hinduism is a meaningless term. Mm-hmm. It is, after all, an imported term. While religion is an imported concept, the name given to the description of India's sacred sphere is also an alien term which has been erroneously applied. Mm-hmm. It simply refers to peoples who inhabit the valley. Right. That's all it means. So it's actually Sanatana Dharma, a much better and a much more accurate connotation, if I may use the term.
So you're against the use of the word Hinduism? And you
rather than saying that I'm against the use of the term Hinduism, but it is a meaningless term.
Okay.
We should be returning to the roots of it, understand history, and then make corrections if and where appropriate. Mm-hmm. So effortlessly, I think Indians could be referring to their belief systems as Sanatana Dharma, right? Sanatana means it's more ancient than time. That's mm-hmm. what it means. And Dharma, whichever way you want to define it, you definitely it is not merely religion, right? Mm-hmm. So I need to go into a definition of religion as it is defined in the West by scholars. Mm-hmm. Religion, to put it very succinctly, it is an organized polity. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It is an institution, meaning it is a phenomenon that occurs with regularity in societies or social systems. And definitely, yes, if you go back into the ancient times of Europe, you go back 2,000 years, you go to the times of the Roman Empire and the eclipse of the Roman Empire and how the so-called religion, what role it played, right? Mm-hmm. And how it evolved to what it is today. When you look at that, then you will realize that whatever the people in India are holding on to mm-hmm. as their understanding of the sacred mm-hmm. and the spiritual, it's completely different from a religion has been understood, experienced and lived by Europeans and, of course, all the places that the Europeans went to through conquest or colonization. And, of course, India also came under the European colonization for considerable periods of time. And not surprisingly, most Indians, including the Indian academia, as well as the Indian schools and colleges and all of the literature, they, in an unquestioning manner, they use the term religion to discuss something that Indians have been experiencing, and perhaps for the lack of a better term, but I tend to disagree mm-hmm. that it is not due to lack of a better term, rather it is due to lack of a proper understanding or analysis of what really went on.
Okay. So if I may just move away from Hinduism and talk about Buddhism, Jainism and Sikhism, which also have borrowed heavily from Hinduism, but they are a little more organized than Hinduism. Yes. Would you say that they are more like the Western construct of religions?
Yes. Okay. Yes, obviously. Uh-huh. Obviously. Yes, because if you examine the structure of those three belief systems, mm-hmm. Sikhism, Buddhism, or Jainism. Now this ism, by the way, it is a problematic suffix. It is a problematic suffix. Interestingly, I had a conversation with a Buddhist monk in Houston some years ago mm-hmm. Who had written a book on Buddha the Beautiful, mm-hmm. and he actually informed me that even before I started reading the book, he said, you will notice as you read this, as you complete reading this book, you will notice that I have never used the word Buddhism in this book. Because according to him, there is no such thing as Buddhism. Hmm. He preferred to, by the way, he is a monk, and he preferred to call it the teachings of Buddha.
Okay.
Right. Now the ism actually, it is sort of draws a circle full closed.
Right.
Yes, and it brings some sort of a constraint mm-hmm. upon the thought processes as well as the normative processes of the people who follow it.
Right. It makes it rigid.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Rigid, and then of course it can evolve into even more rigid and inflexible systems.
Right.
Yes. So therefore, I would say, yes, very obviously, Sikhism, Jainism and Buddhism. Mm-hmm. But mind you, these are terms, once again, provided to the followers of those mm-hmm. belief system by outsiders. These terms were never coined by the believers.
Right.
These terms were actually supplied, or even, if I may use the term, imposed upon them by people have, basically in India, they have, for most part, in an unquestioning manner, they have simply and passively accepted these terminologies or names. Perhaps people in India don't think it is that
right.
Serious a matter or that important to make these distinctions. After all, what lies in a name? It may be that kind of attitude.
Right.
But yes, the answer to your question is yes, they are much more similar in structure
mm-hmm.
and function. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's very important. Structure as well as function. Mm-hmm. So structurally and functionally, these three religions that you mentioned are far more similar to the Western constructs as they have played out in European history or European societies than the so-called Hinduism.
Right. Okay. So in the absence of religion in the organized Western sense, has this helped India or has it hindered India or both?
Well, that's a very interesting question, and I'm actually forced to actually give a rather elaborate response
sure.
to it, if time permits, because it's a very loaded question.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it has had negative consequences as well as positive consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so let me start off with the positive.
Okay.
With the positive consequence of, if I may describe, the Sanatana Dharma as an inclusive, it is an inclusive phenomenon,
mm-hmm.
right? Sanatana Dharma is very much an inclusive phenomenon, and therefore it is one idea that can encompass the realities of all.
Right.
And therefore it is undoubtedly a very inclusive approach.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is so positive about it? Well, we are living in the 21st century, and not a day passes without, you know, us being bombarded with such tragic and horrific tales of violence and bloodshed, all in the name of religion, and in some cases is a political violence.
Mm-hmm.
But religion, as it evolved to become a very established social institution, at once it gathered some very powerful political functions.
Mm-hmm.
Very powerful political functions. Which is not to say that therefore that is negative.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because if you really look at the history of Europe during the past 1500 years,
mm-hmm.
especially since religious reformation, and as a matter of fact even before that, that is, during the time of the invasion of the barbarians,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, who rescued Europe? There was a man in charge who actually came forward and said, I am in charge of Europe, and that was none other than the supreme head of the Roman Catholic Church, the Pope.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it is indeed a political phenomenon, religion,
mm-hmm.
and you look at the history of the success of Europe,
mm-hmm.
it is religion more than anything else
mm-hmm.
that has triggered its political stabilization as well as its economic success.
Mm-hmm.
German sociologist Max Weber said,
mm-hmm.
it's ideas that bring about change, grand changes, macro level changes. Undoubtedly, yes, so Christianity, what Christianity has done for Europe,
mm-hmm.
it's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much the substantive aspect of it, but the functional aspect of it, how religion functioned in society. So you go to the Indian context and see
mm-hmm.
that historically has Sanatana Dharma,
mm-hmm.
has it evolved into an organized polity? The simple answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
But for a variety of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One, if you look at the very substantive aspect of Sanatana Dharma, it is never about lateral connections,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
All cardinal principles, beliefs, or even Advaita, the ultimate
mm-hmm.
right philosophy, it encourages individuals to transcend
right.
and to understand the unity of force in this universe,
mm-hmm.
and not externalizing even the divine.
Right.
Right? When you look at Western religions, you will see that it essentially involves externalizing the divine. Whereas in the Advaita philosophy, of course, there are schools where they have gone the other way, the Dvaita, but we have reached that level of conceptualization, and therefore accommodation has been the inevitable consequence of it. Inclusiveness and accommodation. India has never seen its own belief system organizing to the extent that religions did in Europe hundreds and hundreds of years ago. So while that institution served as a powerful political phenomenon to unite people,
mm-hmm.
and more than anything else, when I say it's a political function, that means giving people that hardcore identity that we are Christians or we are Muslims,
mm-hmm.
But we are yet to hear that echoed in the Indian context when you have 82% of people coming together and saying that without any reservation, without any doubt in their minds, that really not only self-identification, but also mutual identification. Mm-hmm. And you see, if you look at the practices of religions, you will see that in exclusivist and as well as organized religions, in the normative realm of it, you will see that congregation is at the very core of religious practice.
Right.
But you do not see congregations in the Hindu context. Even when people go for a Sankirtan or for a group chant sessions or bhajan, well, it's more a sort of moving into one's own inner space, although you're physically located in the midst of people. But otherwise, take for example even pilgrimages, it is essentially an individual journey, literally it is. So the focus is more transcendental, whereas if you look at Buddhism, which is an offshoot of Hindu, you see that there's so much emphasis on mutualism in the societies of Japan, or China, or Korea, or Vietnam. And so the social cohesion comes before transcendental, you know, realization. So yes, so that has been a negative consequence in that it has, in the absence of religion, India is missing one powerful in social institution that could serve a very powerful political function that can potentially unite people without turning them against other, because the very essence of Sanatana Dharma is inclusiveness.
Right.
So India can have a win-win situation if they see the wisdom of organizing without becoming exclusivist, yet remaining inclusive, but developing not only self-identity, but also mutual identification. And that's what leads to successful organization.
Right. But when I think about it, I feel there is already an essential underlying unity in India. You know, if you look at it, we can say that Hinduism is an open architecture religion. So it does not have an autocratic kind of unity, but it has an interconnected and organic kind of unity. So it is still a world religion in that sense, but of a different kind.
Well, it transcends the constraints of a religion, but I think it'd be more appropriate to call it a thought that has a perpetual universal appeal if it is understood well and properly.
But you talk about greater need for greater organization, right?
Yes, there is organization, meaning people have to accept their identities. That is taking pride. There is nothing wrong in you or I if we subscribe to this belief system, standing up and then with pride declaring ourselves as adhering to this set of thought.
Right.
But in my growing up days, India was so politicized, and so in an indirect way, I should say, there is that pressure to sort of shun my own identity as a Hindu because of this big thrust on secularist ideology, you see, which is another tragedy that hit Indian society. And secularism is a great idea because, see, again, you look at Europe and see it has its origins in Europe. Because you had first the inception of, let's say, the Catholic Church in the Roman Empire, and then it goes, slips into the Dark Ages, right after the collapse of the Roman Empire. Then you see the Church ascending to power and control, and through several hundreds of years, Europe goes through this Dark Ages period. And then you see religious reformation, the Protestantism movement taking shape in Europe. But what has happened was, by then, you had at least four different denominations, right, all subscribing to the life and death of Christ, right? So to many Indians, they're all Christians. Mm-hmm. But if you go to the Western world, a Christian calls himself a Christian, but a Roman Catholic would prefer to describe himself as, I'm a Catholic, right?
Oh, okay.
Or I'm a Baptist, that
mm-hmm.
sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, they all agree in the name,
mm-hmm.
right? These
mm-hmm.
are all offshoots of one idea,
mm-hmm.
a founder,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, in such a context, to prevent or avert political violence and group intolerance in Europe, it was decided that the church and state would remain separate.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But the interesting thing is, in European societies, it worked.
Mm-hmm.
Because the differences were, after all, with interpretations. But they were all essentially talking about one and the same founder, right? Jesus Christ and teachings and theology. There may be some theological differences in interpretations. Minor compared to modern India, where you have a democratic system, right, with a constitution that accommodates a different belief systems, right? That's ideal, yes. But what we don't perhaps understand is that we are not talking about accommodating or allowing people to sort of coexist side by side, but we are actually talking about accommodating or letting coexist totally incompatible beliefs. And that is, you have as a native system which is very inclusive and accommodative, open architecture as you put it,
mm-hmm.
but within that context, the constitution is accommodating, right,
mm-hmm.
by law,
mm-hmm.
is accommodating groups that simply don't accept the native belief systems.
Yes, yes.
So you have exclusivists
right.
within an inclusive kind of space.
Right.
So the inevitable result will be what? It is only a matter of time before which
mm-hmm.
the exclusivists could actually encroach upon the
right.
space of the open. They can encroach upon the open space, which as you say belongs to the
right.
the native. So that leads to a continuous clash because there is no meeting point. So all I'm saying is secularism in India, it throws up a unique challenge which Europe or the Middle East, they never had to deal with.
Right. So I think we'll have to wrap up now. We're running out of time. Thank you, Professor Menon, for your rich insights. And thank you, sponsors. A transcript and podcast of this show will be available on our Facebook page. Please look for Indian History Awareness and Research on Facebook. Please join us again next week for another stimulating episode on the history of Bharatvarsha. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
कृष्णदामोदरं रामनारायणं जानकीवल्लभम् अच्युतं केशवं कृष्णदामोदरं
भगवान आते नहीं।
शबरी के जैसे खिलाते नहीं,
तेरे शबरी के जैसे खिलाते नहीं।
अच्युतम केशवम कृष्ण दामोदरम,
अच्युतम केशवम कृष्ण दामोदरम।
राम नारायणम जानकी वल्लभम,
राम नारायणम जानकी वल्लभम।
दीना नाथ కలదు దీనానాథు దీనానాథు खुशाल मिलन की आशा आशा आजा 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 रस खुशाल मिलन की आशा आशा रसिक खुशाल मिलन की आशा निस दिन सुमरन धान लगा निस दिन सुमरन धान लगा तर तन देना तन प्यारे तर तन देना तन प्यारे नंद लाला मेरे ननो के प्यारे नंद लाला दर्शन देना
श्याम मुरारी बनवारी गिरधर श्याम मुरारी बनवारी गिरधर श्याम मुरारी बन बनवारी गिरधर मदन मोहन हो शरण श्याम मुरारी बनवारी गिरधारी मदन मोहन हो शरण त्रिपुरारी श्याम मुरारी बनवारी ग्वाल गोपाल लाल नंद मदन मोहन हो शरण त्रिपुरारी राम मुरारी बनवारी बाल गोपाल लाल नंद जू बाल गोपाल लाल नंद जू
बिनु गोपाल बरन भई कुंजे बिन गोपाल बिन गोपाल विषम ज्वाल की पूंजे अब भई विषम ज्वाल की पूंजे बिन गोपाल बरन भई पूंजे बिन गोपाल बिन कहियो माधव सो ऐंधो कहियो माधव सो बिरह कदन करी मारत लूंजे बिरह कदन करी मारत लूंजे बिन गोपाल करन भई तुंगे बिन
सारे ग प ग ध ध म म ग रे रे ग रे सा सारे ग रे ग प प ध प ध नि ध सारे ग रे ध रे नि ध म ग ग प ध नि ध म ग रे रे ग रे रे सा सारे ध नि ध दिन गोपाल बरन भई तुंजे दिन गोपाल सूरदास प्रभु
चारों नाम
हे राम हे राम
This radio show is supported by listeners like you and by Sanatan Hindu Center, which arranges funeral and cremation services in the Hindu traditional way. Call 832-361-0625 or 832-704-9273. Or you can visit our website at sanatanhinducenter.org and look for the funeral services, and we'll take care of your cremation needs. We appreciate your continuous patronage. A big thank you to you, all artists, producers, and publishers, for allowing your production to be utilized on Voice of Sanatan Hinduism. We'll meet you next Sunday at 9 a.m. on KBreeze 106.1 FM or 102.1 FM HD3, or by logging on to www.sanatanhinducenter.org, or by downloading TuneIn app on your smartphone and search for KBreeze 106.1 FM. Have a blissful week ahead. By grace of Lord, God bless all of us, United States of America, Bharat, and planet Earth. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. And now it is Mangalam time, time for the welfare, Kalyan, Mangalam of all.
Mangana